You may be seated. Father God, I thank you for Jesus, what he means to us. I thank you for all he's done for us. I thank you for his many blessings. Many times, Lord, you've made a way through our lives when there wasn't a way. Now, Lord, I ask that the word tonight would help my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lord, equip us so we may not only be blessed, but we may be a channel to bless others. And thank you for it, Lord. Bless us with your spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to speak tonight about the authority of the believer. The Bible said in Galatians 5:22, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Now, when we speak about liberty, we also speak about authority. We speak about the authority we have in Christ, getting our prayers answered to make our lives better and the lives of others better also. We're just not saved for fire insurance. We're saved to be a blessing. And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so we're all preachers. We're all spreaders of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. Jesus died to save sinners. Now, one method of receiving from God an answer, get an answer to prayer, is to pray about it. Pray about it till it comes to pass. Sometimes, folks, you just got to hang in there and you got to bug God. The Lord teaches, he does teach fortuity in prayer. You see the example of the unjust judge where the widow woman came to him and she said, avenge me of my adversaries. And he said, get out of here, don't bother me. So she comes the next day, avenge me of my adversaries. Get out of here and don't bother me. Avenge me of my adversaries. Get out of here, don't bother me. So he says to the court guard, throw her out of here. He says, I can't. This is a court of law. She has a right to be here. So the unjust judge said this, though I fear neither God nor man, and probably the devil, I will avenge this woman of her adversaries. At least by her coming, she wearies me. So if an unjust judge can be made to avenge a woman of her adversaries, how much better can the Lord God, our Father, when we pray, hear us if we keep praying? The Bible said men ought to pray and not to faint. Now, when you speak about prayer, that's the method I call my old way. You can call a prayer a matter in tongues for anything you need to succeed in life. And we're speaking about our needs in life, not our lusts or our wants. We're not talking about trying to get an oil well, Lord, so we can spread the gospel, and we can spread the gospel and make wells in Africa and help people. He's tried that before. Don't try it. That con doesn't work. I've tried it, and it don't work. He said, no, don't try it on me, Charlie. He said, I've had that tried before. But I'll tell you what. We can ask for our lawful needs in everyday life. And by now, I know we don't get all our wants in life. We don't always get our wants. We get our needs. If you can claim what you need, because the Bible says you can in Mark 11:23-24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you can receive it and you'll have the things you pray and you say. The problem is people took it in the extremes. Now, if anyone could have made this work in the extremes, it would have been the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he's the word, he said it, didn't he? It's in his gospel. Jesus, the one that said it, but Jesus and his disciples didn't run around in a gold-plated chariot, Brother Marty, pulled by white thoroughbred horses, pulling a silver wagon with the 12 apostles in it. It didn't mean that. I've noticed that in every move of God, there are those people that run off with a verse of Scripture, take it completely out of context, and every move of God, they never seem to stay in the middle of the path. I've been through the 1947 revival. I went through the charismatic revival. And I've seen people mess it up. Men gets in the middle of it and mess it up. In the last charismatic revival, we had a woman in our church that said, I got this revelation from God. Now, Pastor Marty, that's a thorn in both of our saddles. I got this revelation from God. You know what a revelation was? We should go back to the days of the early church. And we should sell all our belongings, sell our houses, all come together, live in a commune, and we'll all just work and send our money into a big pot, and then we'll buy what we need, and we'll just all live together. Now, the problem was, they had a Bless Me Club for 60 years in Jerusalem. And people were going straight to hell while they were enjoying the mercies of the Lord and the glories of the Lord, the healings of the Lord, all the blessings of the Lord. But for 60 years, they stood there and had a wonderful time. Things the gospel did not spread till the Lord let the Roman government bring on them oppression, and it scattered the church to all the different parts of the world. It scattered them so much with the gospel that they said, they that have come here have turned the world upside down, have come here hither. So you got to understand, every time somebody tells you they got a revelation from God, you don't necessarily have to believe us. You know, there was a saying, a new Christian with a Bible verse, not knowing the whole counsel of God, and a second lieutenant with a map are two of the most dangerous things in the world. I don't, if you're in the service, you know what I talk about. And then we had a group, very quickly, that believed you had to get in a tall building so God could hear you better. That's absolutely the truth. You know what they did? They hired a plane so they could all get up and fly up there and pray and God could hear them better. People get these revelations. If it doesn't back up to the Word of God, and the Word of God doesn't say you can have it, forget it. You got well-meaning people sometimes that don't know what they're doing. Now, people have taken Mark 11:24 out of context. It's heartbreaking. You can't take another man. You can't claim another man's wife. You can't claim his house. You can't claim a particular woman for a wife. You're claiming Sally Beautiful and Henry Turkey Trots, claiming her for a wife. And then Mary Berry Goodhouse is claiming Henry Turkey Trot for a husband. Now, who's the Lord going to answer? You understand what I say? People, I guess I'm getting old and frustrated. You'll have to forgive me. But you know, you'd think people know the Bible a little bit better than that. But you can claim what you need in Christ and what Jesus has promised us. I believe people sometimes fail to see from God because they really don't know what belongs to them. And the enemy is right there, and he'll keep you from knowing what's from in God's Word if you don't get in God's Word and you don't abide in the Word and you don't get the Word inside of you till it's second nature. It has to be second nature. That's how you get answers to prayer. I had a Baptist friend, and his little boy, now this Baptist kid could believe God is better than anybody I've ever met. And this Baptist kid took the Word of God and he put it in his spirit till the Word of God was the last authority on any situation. His little boy was chugging Tidy Bowl. He just took his little boy, wiped out his mouth, and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. In Jesus' name, go out and play, son. The kid went out and played, and nothing ever happened to him. Now, you've got to know the Word of God to do that. You people say, oh, I'll try that. No, we don't try that. We know it. That's building the Word of God into us till it's second nature. The Word. When trouble comes, the first thing that comes out of your mouth, oh, my Lord, what do we do? Or does what comes out of your mouth, this is what Jesus said about it. You have to train yourself to do that. I'm one of the biggest villains saying, oh, my Lord, what are we going to do? And then slap myself on the face a couple of times and start quoting his Word. And we're also human. But you know what? You can train yourself into that. This is the truth, the honest, the good God's gospel truth. There was an old guy. He was an old farmer. Years and years and years ago. And he got to praying for the sick. God, he didn't call him to stand in the ministry, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. He was just a man who believed God and got the word in him. He got so successful praying for people that he had to take and have somebody else run his farm because he was busy in his own little ministry. Isn't that marvelous? Guys, he didn't have any particular calling on his life, but he got as close to Jesus as he could. And one of the last days of his life, another friend and another pastor, the old gentleman was laying in bed, and the guy was next to him and watching him because he knew he was going to die. And the old gentleman said, "Well, there's Jesus. I see him. I've waited for him all these years. Goodbye." Boy, what a way to go home, huh? That's not dying. That's going home to be with the Lord. Now, you know, there was a preacher one time that had a $20 bill hiding, and it was in his wallet. He ran out of gas. And so he had to call somebody to come and get him and give him gas. But all the time, he had a $20 bill that he forgot that he had stashed in his wallet. Now, he didn't know he had the money to buy the gas. And if we don't know the authority God gives us against the devil, he's going to make mincemeat out of us. And now, if you look at Luke 10:19, Jesus here gives us authority over evil spirits. God himself is the power behind our authority. You know, Hosea 4:6, God said, "My people, not the world, are destroyed for lack of knowledge." We shouldn't. This is what's broke my heart for years. I'm a lot older than most of you, and I've seen Christians die that didn't need to die. And it's heartbreaking. They were good people. Good people. Some of them thought that God didn't heal people anymore. And I've seen these, and it bugs me. It bothers me. I hate to see the devil get the best of God's people. Yeah, they went to heaven. They're up in heaven shouting up and down the streets of glory, having a wonderful time. But they could have lived a little longer and done something more for Jesus. Now, here's a side thought. I enjoy this one. You know, when God raised Jesus from the dead, there was such a demonstration of mighty power that spilled over into the graveyard, and the Christian people of God who were buried there next to Jesus were raised from the dead and were given their glorified bodies and were seen in the streets of Jerusalem. It's in Matthew 27:52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who slept arose and went into the holy city and appeared by many. Could you imagine this, Pastor Marty? 2,000 years ago, you're a Christian and you're walking down to the market and you're getting something to eat, and all of a sudden you see that woman over there. Well, my Lord, that looks like Aunt Rose. She's a spitting image of Aunt Rose. And you go over there and you look and say, "You look like Aunt Rose." And she says, "Sonny, I am Aunt Rose. Jesus has raised me from the dead. Praise the Lord." And that glory and power, that mighty power, raised Jesus up. It spilled over into there. And there was more than just one people. It spilled over into all the people that were buried there. It lived for Jesus and had died. And he gave them their glorified bodies. You know they got people in glorified bodies up there in heaven? We're going to have to wait to get ours. But they got theirs already. You know, the Word of God is wonderful. I can imagine, if I'd seen my Aunt Rose, I would have said, "Aunt Rose, I preached your funeral service. I know, Sonny, but I don't need a funeral anymore. I'm with Jesus, and I got a new body. Look here. I don't have to diet anymore. Here, give me something to eat. Give me some honey like Jesus. Look at this. Isn't this perfect? Watch this, Sonny. I'm going to appear behind you, and she's behind me. And then watch, Sonny. I'm going to appear in front of you." That's that glorified body. And then they have her say, "Well, Sonny, I'll see you, and I'll tell everybody that I saw you up in heaven. I'm leaving. Goodbye." That's a scenario. But people are no different 2,000 years ago than they were today. It's kind of a fun scenario, but I'll bet you a quarter it happened. You can look somebody up when we get to heaven and see. Now, a lot of Christians, this thought, a lot of Christians don't know the authority God gives us to use his name, especially against the devil, especially against the devil that would try to wreak havoc in our family. And a lot of good people, real good Christians, just believe we're going to live on Barry Get-Along Street way down at the end of Grumble Alley, and they talk more about what the devil's doing than what Jesus is doing. I've heard, you know, if you don't believe me, people talk more about what the devil does. Listen to the news every night. I listen to it just long enough to find out what's happening, and then I turn it off. You know why? It's all depressing. It's all depressing. I had an experience some years ago of a lady, and she kept saying this. You know, Sonny, the devil's been after me all week. The devil's been after me all week. The devil's been after me all week. And he finally got her. And she ended up in the hospital. So I went in the hospital, and I laid hands on her and prayed for her, and she started to get better. But as soon as she got better, could sit up on the end of the bed and look at me, you know what she said? The devil's been after me all week. And I heard the word of the Lord in my spirit say this: if she doesn't stop this, she's going to be dead. Now, when I looked at her, and I knew she had this mantra, and I knew she wasn't going to change her mind, I should have said something, but I didn't. You know what happened? I went to her funeral. Why? She is talking. You know, why don't we talk about what Jesus is doing? Why don't we talk about what the Lord is doing? Why don't we talk about how the Lord is meeting our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus? Why don't we give thanks to the Lord? Every day I get up, I say, Lord, thank you. Here I am. I didn't read my name in the obituaries. Praise the Lord. Things are good. If you keep praising God and thanking God, you're going to find out things will change, because you're more into the things of God than you are into the devil. We are in this world, but we're not part of it. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen? This world, folks, is not our home. This is where I hang my hat. And I've had a good life. I'm having a good life. I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying the presence of the Lord. I'm enjoying my wife. But it's not my final home. Like old Abraham said, you know, he was just passing through. I'm just passing through. We're just passing through. Now, there was a preacher that he was a pastor, and the Lord called him out into the ministry evangelistic field through the churches. And in his ministry, people were getting healed, people were getting filled with the Spirit, people were getting saved. People were living a better life, and he was doing so much good. And you know what? You can be right in the middle of the Lord, will, and still be not making a buck. And he was having a terrible time. And finally, he took all, just like the old king did in the Old Testament. He took it, wrote everything down, and took it into the Word and laid it down. And said, Lord, this is what I got to have. Lord, I was faithful to you. I didn't want to go out. I wanted to be a pastor. I loved being a pastor. I loved being a pastor of the sheep, the local body of Christ. And he said, you said willing and obedient, I'd eat the good of the land. He said, I sure ain't willing. I sure ain't obedient. He said, my boy's sleeping on a couch when I come home. We're living in a two-bedroom apartment. I don't have, my children are closed. Things are not going good. And the Lord said, well, son, here's your problem. You were obedient to go out into my work, but you certainly weren't willing. And he said, I got willing in 2 seconds. And the Lord not only not only got him out of that mess, he prospered him. So he wrote many books. He built a big Bible school. He wrote 25, 30 books. He's got work still going today in different countries. But you understand, the Word of God, we got to qualify. We have to qualify. It's look at this. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But if you're honest with the Lord, and you'll talk to him and tell him, look, Lord, I'm in this mess. What did I do wrong? I'll guarantee you he'll talk to you. Because Jesus is a friend of sinners. And if he's a friend of sinners, he's certainly a friend of the saints. Amen. Now, oh, boy, I'm going to have to hurry. There are, hang on, I'll find this. Come on, baby, come on. I don't know if it's, okay. There are four ways, and we're talking about authority, that we can deal with the devil, stop an occurrence from happening in our lives. Number one is pray in the Spirit about a matter. Number two is yell, Jesus, help me. Number three, simply command it to stop in the name of Jesus. And number four, of using the Word of God like a sword. Jody Hogan, who was Linda's niece's husband and a second-generation ministry in Mexico, has told me of the witchcraft he has encountered in his life as a missionary. Some of the things they face would make my hair stand on end, but to them, it's just another day at the office. And he said, I had an occurrence. I know of an occurrence. Jody said that this witch, now believe me, when they get over into this, they're in the hills of Mexico, way in. And they run into black magic. And we don't run into it today here so much because the Holy Ghost is alive in the church and the Holy Spirit is alive here and the power of God is in such manifestation that it holds that stuff down. But those people, those poor people in Mexico, didn't know a thing about it. And this Jody told me, this witch actually summoned up an evil entity to kill this one Christian. And he had to go home in a path. And there wasn't any way to get home except this path. And there that thing was standing there. Now, I've talked to missionaries, personally I knew, and they told me this stuff is true. And he said, Jesus, what am I going to do? That thing will kill me. And the Lord said, you pray in the Spirit and then walk right past him. And so he started praying up a storm, and he walked right past that thing, and that thing never touched him. Three times he had to go through that, and then that thing was gone, and it disappeared. Now, one time using the name of Jesus against something, yelling, Jesus, help me, there was a hunter, and to make a long story short, they were out camping. And he took his rifle and he went into the woods farther to do a little more exploring. And he said, I went through the woods and I came to a great big empty field. And he said, I looked down the end of the field. He said, there was the biggest wolf I have ever seen in my life. And he said, he came at me and he came at me with a vengeance. And he said, this thing was terrible to look at. He said, I knew that little pop gun I had wasn't going to do anything but make him mad if I shot him. But he said, I remembered one thing that my Sunday school teacher taught me years and years and years ago. And I yelled, Jesus, save me. And that thing stopped. And it started to back up and back up and back up and back up. And it backed all the way across the field. Now, a normal wolf doesn't back up. It turns around and runs. And he said, that thing, it scared the life out of me. But you know, the Bible said when you yell, Jesus, save me, the Bible said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It works for sinners as well as it works for Christians. And then there was Pastor Cho, who has that 5,000 church in Korea, I believe it is, Brother Marty. And so he's in Japan. He's preaching the gospel. So Pastor Cho said, I had my head down. He said, I was in my hotel room, and I looked up into the door, and there standing in the door was a manifestation of old Satan. And he said a bolt of fear went through him. And the Holy Spirit said to him, if you don't face him down, you'll never do any good preaching in Japan again. So he said, I use the word of God. I use the word of God. In my name you resist the devil. And he said, I quoted scriptures, three scriptures. He said, and all of a sudden after the third scripture, he said, old Satan turned around and run. See, he's afraid of the, he's afraid. We have authority to use Jesus' name. Jesus gave this in Mark, Matthew, the 28th chapter. Jesus, rising from the dead, said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And then he turned around in Mark, the 16th chapter, 16, 17, and 18, said, in my name, you'll cast out the devil. You'll speak with new tongues. You'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He designated his authority to the church. If Jesus is going to do anything in this world, he's going to have to do it through the church. And he's going to have to do it with the church empowered with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. He's going to have it, people who will stand up, and when you run into the devil, knock him down. You got the Word of God, you got the name of Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit, you got the whole armor of God, you got the name of Jesus. If that ain't going to do it, son, nothing else will. But I'll tell you, it will do it. I ran in my lifetime, 81 years, I've run into three cases of demon oppression, three of them. And the first one, I was at a youth group, and I was holding my youth group, and we were praising the Lord and singing, and all of a sudden one girl, she hit the floor like somebody hit her with a, knocked her down. And I looked at her, and I thought, oh, my Lord, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? And the other girls were laying hands on her and praying, and finally the Spirit of the Lord said to me, tell it to come out of her. Now, I didn't jump up and down. I didn't scream. I didn't do five handstands, you know, and cartwheels. I just simply laid my hands on her and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And that was it. You see, the Word of God, it can come to anybody. It doesn't have to be Pastor Marty. It doesn't have to be apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. Jesus said, they that believe in me, the works I do, they'll do also. They'll do also. Who's they? Who's they? It's us. It's us. And if you'll take, build yourself up in the Word. Study the Word. Hang out with Jesus. Pray. Get into the Spirit. Pray and hang out with him. Tell him you love him. Spend time in the presence of the Lord. Practice the presence of the Lord. You're going to find out, kiddos, you're going to be in this spot sometime. There ain't going to be nobody but you in Jesus. And he's going to say, okay, I want you to stand up, and I want you to minister for me. Amen? Well, is that good preaching or not? Oh, praise the Lord. All right. We'll be down. If you want any prayer, I'll be down here. And Pastor Marty, do you have anything else? Otherwise, you're dismissed.
Come on, give it up for Pastor Chuck again.